Our First Testament reading this morning comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapters 43, verses 1 through 7. Here God comforts Isaiah and the people, expressing God's love and tender care for them using images of water and fire. Let us listen together for God's word. But now says the Lord, the one who created you, Jacob, the one who formed you, Israel, don't fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When the rivers, they won't sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you won't be scorched, and flame won't burn you. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place. Because you are precious in my eyes, you are honored, and I love you. I give people in your place and nations in exchange for your life. Don't fear, I am with you. From the east, I'll bring your children. From the west, I'll gather you. I'll say to the north, give them back, and to the south, don't detain them. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth, everyone who is called by my name and whom I created for my glory, whom I have formed and made.
We are in year C of the lectionary cycle, and year C is focused on the Gospel of Luke for our Gospel readings. So we continue reading Luke from chapter 3, verses 15 through 17 and 21 through 22. I thought it might be a nice idea this morning to have two volunteers to read Scripture. Maybe one person to read 15 through 17, and then one person to read 21 through 22. If you want to take out your red pew Bibles, the page in the New Testament, so the back of the Bible, pages 56 and 57. Is there anybody who would like to read 15 through 17 of Luke chapter 3? Amma, we'd like to do that. And then who would like to read 21 and 22? Mark, thank you. Amma, whenever you're ready.
As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not with him, I'm a child of long sins. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So, with many other exhortations, he proclaims the good news to the people. Am I supposed to read that?
That's good. You can stop there. Thank you. Thank you. Friends, let us be together in prayer. God, the story that we just heard from Luke reminds us that you do speak with us, sometimes booming from the clouds, sometimes in other ways. Speak to us today through Spirit, through Word, through silence, through one another. Help us to hear, help us to remember, and help us to live. Amen. Well, because of our Christmas pageant back on December 20th, and the informal nature of our service right after Christmas. And because I was on vacation last week, it has been nearly a month or so before I came before you with a message. Much has happened in the liturgical calendar and in the world since that time, so I've found it particularly difficult this week to focus my message. I thought about the season of Christmas, how short it is, and how on the 6th of January, that's Epiphany, Day of Epiphany, where we think about the story of the Magi and the Magi coming to visit Jesus and to go back home and to tell people about Jesus. I think about that day and about this season of Epiphany, and I thought this might be a good time to overview the season, to think about some of the scripture passages we'll be reading that show us that the world has an epiphania, where the world more and more comes to know that Jesus is God's Son and Savior of the world. Well, then I thought, so much is happening in the world right now that is worthy of our attention. Did you know that Iran and Saudi Arabia, are the tensions are heating up there with ramifications for all of us? There's a possibility that North Korea detonated a nuclear bomb test this week, which also has ramifications for all of us. And the stock market is about as volatile as it can be. It hasn't opened the year with this volatile of a market in 25 years, I understand. So do we talk together about the dangers, the anxieties we have about the world around us, and then look for some words of hope from Scripture? Well, then a few days ago, many of you know that Donald Trump was in town. I was there outside the theater. So I said, do we navigate the dangerous waters of politics from the pulpit and talk about how maybe how we engage through our Christian baptism political rhetoric that is damaging and inflammatory and dangerous? Something that we could do. What is it that God is calling me to say and for all of us to hear and to do? Those are questions I think about most weeks, but they were particularly difficult for me, and I wrestled with them, sometimes literally on my knees with God. Sometimes God is silent. We know this. Maybe even often God feels silent to us, but this week, God wasn't silent for me. There weren't lightning bolts, and the ground didn't shake, and the skies didn't split, and God's voice didn't boom. But Spirit-inspired clarity that came to me through prayer and reflection. Clarity about a message, not in spite of the world as it is, not tone deaf to it, but because the world is as it is. Clarity about a message about our internal lives of faith that has everything to do with the external world around us. Spirit-inspired clarity that this was the message I needed to speak today. And it's this. We are made new when we allow ourselves to be loved by the God who loves us. We are made new when we allow ourselves to be loved by the God who loves us. Both of our scripture passages this morning show us just how it works that we are made new through the love of God. First, in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 7, we're given this tiny slice of what is called Isaiah's Book of Comfort, which runs from chapter 40 through chapter 66. Why is it the Book of Comfort? It's the Book of Comfort because it was written after 586 BCE, after the time that the Babylonian armies came in and conquered the Jewish people and sent many of them to exile in Babylon. The times were hard for the people. There was need for encouragement and comfort. And so God speaks to Isaiah, who speaks to the people these words of comfort and encouragement. In chapter 43, God is the speaker, and what does God say to the people who are in a worst-case scenario? God says to them, reminds them, I created you, and you are mine. And when you pass through the dangerous waters, when life gets challenging and dangerous and difficult, know that I will be with you. You are precious to me, God says. I love you. And because of that, fear can fade away for you. Know that deliverance is coming. These are words, but they're not just words. I mean, imagine what it would be like to hear those words from Isaiah as a 6th-century Jewish exile in the city of Babylon. Imagine what it would feel like thinking that God had abandoned you to the Babylonians, to hear once again that even in that situation, even in the middle of great fear, to hear that God loved you. Imagine how powerful it would have been to not only hear it, but to believe it. Imagine how powerful it would have been not only to hear it and to believe it, but how powerful it must have been for those among the exiles who allowed themselves to be loved by the God of love. Imagine the renewal that would have come for the individuals who were loved and for the whole community. But maybe you don't have to imagine how powerful that was. Maybe you've had a similar experience in your own life. Maybe you've passed through the waters. Maybe you've had life and death circumstances, uncertainties, economic turmoil, medical scares. Maybe you have passed through the waters, and maybe in those moments, Scripture or someone around you or the not-so-silent God reminded you that you were loved. If you had an experience like that, did you hear that you were loved? I mean, were you able to believe that you were loved? That you, even you, were loved? Were you able to not only believe it, but to allow yourself to be loved, to stop beating yourself up, to stop thinking that you were unlovable, and to allow yourself to be loved exactly as you are? And if you were able to do that, were you made new in some way? Friends, these are deep questions. Some of the deepest questions I think we have in our faith and in human experience, so I don't want to just race past them this morning. I want to take a minute to reflect to ourselves about the nature of God's love for us and about the times where we heard that and how we responded to it. Let's take a minute to reflect on God's love in our lives. Whether or not you've had the experience of being made new through the love of God, I know somebody who has. It's Jesus, of course, and his part of his love story is told to us in Luke chapter 3. It was after the census, after his birth, after the angels and shepherds, after his circumcision, after about 30 years of living, that he comes to John the Baptist at the Jordan River. There was a lot of people there that day, and a lot of people were being baptized by John. They were excited about John. And I guess it was Jesus' time. He was ready for whatever God had for him next, and he chose to be baptized by John in the Jordan River. And when he was done, and as he was praying, As I told the kids, Luke tells us that the sky split apart and a dove came down and God's voice boomed from the clouds and said to Jesus what God had said to the Jewish people through Isaiah some 600 years earlier. God said to Jesus, "You are mine and I love you." We don't really know what happened next. But we know that Jesus' public ministry begins soon after. He begins teaching and healing and preaching and speaking truth to power and doing all the things that would lead up to the cross and to the empty tomb. And here's what I think happened. I think at Jesus' baptism, he was reminded that God loved him, like a lot. And I think in that moment, he was allowed to be loved by the God who loved him. I think in that moment, all the things Jesus might have been afraid about, that God was calling him to do, I think that fear faded away. I think that in that moment, he became new in a way that allowed all the rest of us to become new too. It is a powerful story of God's love coming to Jesus and through him to all of us. And so again, I don't want to race past that this morning, but to slow things down a little bit and to give us just another chance to reflect on the nature of God's love for us in and through Jesus Christ. Let's take a moment. We all want to be made new. That's what New Year's resolutions are about. That's what new cars and new houses and new jobs and new starts, that's what that's about. Out with the old, in with the new, new lives, new stuff, new bodies. The problem is, right, the problem is that the new we want is almost never the new we get. New Year's resolutions almost always fail. I've broken two or three of them since the year began. New cars become old cars the second that they drive off the lot. New houses, new jobs, new starts are wonderful, but you know, so often, almost always, it's the same old us just surrounded by new things. Which is why I'm so grateful for our passages this morning, the essential passages we have, for God whispering the word into our ears. There is a need for us to be made new. And the only thing I've ever experienced in my life that can really make that happen is to remember that God loves us. I mean, like a lot, like L-O-V-E, to the moon and back, loves us. And having heard it, to believe it, and having believed it, to allow ourselves to be loved, not for who we aren't, but for exactly who we are. I believe, I know, I've experienced in my life and in others, that's how we are made new. And I've never found anything else in this world that can do that. And so in this new year, with the need for all of us to be made new, remember that the God who loved the people through Isaiah, the God who loves Jesus also loves you. So do you hear that? Do you believe that? Will you allow yourself to be loved this year? Will you allow yourself to be made new? May it be so for all of us, through Christ, and for the life of the whole world. Thank you.